Number one is where we'll be this morning. We're not going to read many verses today. So I do want you, when you get to Ephesians 1, I do want you to stand to your feet. And then we'll get right back down after we read these two verses. So Ephesians chapter number 1, if all could stand right now, we're going to read these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 12 through 14. Before we read today, I do want you to know this. There are a lot of times, I'll just be honest, that I come to the pulpit and I don't have a great burden on my heart. But today I do. This is one of the messages that is very, very, very important for us to understand. And the message today, the title is this: Stop Doubting Your Salvation. Stop doubting your salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And that's where we're going to stop right now. If you could, we're going to pray. And if you could, right where you are, say a prayer for me as I preach this message, okay? Father, we come to You this morning. And God, we just want to thank You for the good singing that we've had already. But God, I pray that now that as our hearts are prepared for Your Word, God, I pray that this bread will be served upon the table of our heart. And God, I just pray today that if there is one person that it's not saved, doesn't know 100% that they're a born-again child of God, I pray the Holy Spirit will tell them that today. But God, my burden today is that we that are born again, we that are children of God, we would know today that we are children of God, and that You would give us a great assurance of that through Your Holy Spirit. So God, we thank You. I pray You'd give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The one thing that I hope you've learned about me the past 2 years is that I love the Bible. I love the Bible. There is something special about the Bible. The Bible is better than any children's book I've ever read. The Bible is better than any history book or sports book I have ever read. There's something special about the Bible. And Brother Johnny, I've figured out why the Bible's so special to me, and it is because it is a supernatural book. The Bible is a supernatural book written about a supernatural God, and because of that, it has done a supernatural work in my heart. I'm thankful for the Word of God today. In the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, it is full of passages that praise and glorify this supernatural God of heaven. And in Ephesians chapter number 1, we didn't read verses 3 through 14, but verse 3, Paul starts it out by praising the God of heaven. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." From Genesis to Revelation, you'll find people that praise this God. And you know, the Bible is full of praise. And I came to this understanding, Brother Johnny. The reason it's so full of praise and we ought to praise God is because of this. Do you remember what we call the Lord's Prayer? Jesus prayed this. He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what Jesus' prayer is this: what is being done in heaven ought to be done on earth. And can I tell you, if we were to put headphones on today and we had a cord that stretched all the way to heaven and we got to plug it in and hear what's going on up there, you know what we would hear? Revelation 4, verse 8 says, John heard this: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That is exactly what you would hear going on in heaven. And by the way, that verse says those four beasts or angels, whatever you want to call them, they don't rest day or night. They never stop crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, Brother Johnny, because the Bible is a supernatural book, I happen to believe there are no words in the Bible there by surprise, there by mistake, and there for no reason. So when the Bible says, holy, 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 I believe that it is there for three times for a reason. Is there three times, not four? Is there three times, not five? Three times, not two. Holy, holy, holy. Three holies there, and I'll tell you why. Because although our God is one God, He is manifest, what, in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all deserve reverence, and they all deserve glory today in heaven and on earth. The Holy Trinity is what we call it today. And by the way, in Ephesians 1, Paul recognized that. Paul recognized that. I want you to look at verse 3. He mentions all members of the Trinity when he's praising God, okay? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. There's God the Father. Well, why are we blessing Him? Because He chose us and He adopted us, verse 4 and verse 5. But look at verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. So He's giving glory to God the Father. Verse 7, in whom, talking about who? The Son. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. He's giving glory to the Son here. Look at verse 13 at the end of it. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Unto the praise of His glory. He's glorifying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in one chapter. Isn't that good? One man said, I think he said, the Father thought salvation, the Son brought salvation, the Son bought salvation, and the Spirit brought salvation. The Father thought it, the Son bought it, and the Spirit brought it. Amen. I'm about to do a happy dance right there. That's good preaching. But you know, He's glorifying all members of the Trinity for their work in salvation. For their work in salvation. Now, I'll just be honest with you, that's pretty interesting to me. And I'll tell you why. Growing up in the Baptist church, I heard all about how God the Father loves me. I knew that. I heard all about how God the Son came and died on the cross, shed His blood, rose again so that my sins might be forgiven. I knew God the Father loved me, the Son forgave me, but nobody really told me what the Spirit did for me. And a lot of us are like that. We grow up and we don't hear what the Spirit of God did for us when we got saved. And I'll just be honest with you, because I didn't hear about it, it became fatal to me. And I'll tell you why. Because of that lack of understanding for many years, I was a person who was unsure about my salvation. I was a person who a lot of times doubted my salvation. I had questions like, hey, if I sin tonight and I forget to ask God to forgive me and I die, am I going to go to hell? I had questions like, hey, I became backslidden for a few years when I was 17, 18 years old, and because of that, am I not saved anymore? And there were so many questions that was wrapped around salvation. And I'll tell you why. It's because I didn't understand what the Holy Spirit did for me when I got saved. And if we're honest this morning, a lot of you will say there's a time in my life, or it might be right now, where you've doubted your salvation before. A lot of us have. By the way, that's the devil's job. The devil's job is to make sure you don't enjoy your salvation, so the thing to do is make you doubt it. Very simple. That is his job. To make us doubt our salvation. But you see, most often the reason if we're saved we doubt our salvation is because we have a lack of understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Let's see if this is the truth for you. It was the truth for me. When you got saved, the only thing somebody told you was now Jesus lives on the inside of your heart. That was just about it. And let me tell you something. That is the honest, good truth, but so much more happened the moment you and I got saved. And if we fail to understand that, biblically speaking, you're going to go through life doubting your salvation. And instead of shouting about your salvation, you're just going to doubt it. And I'm here this morning with the goal of this. If you are saved today, I'm going to show you in the Scripture what the Holy Spirit did for you so that when you walk out of those back doors on September 13th, 2020, you'll be able to look and say, I no longer have to doubt my salvation. And I believe that in all of my heart. You can walk out of here saying, God gave me such an understanding, I'll never have to doubt it again. But if you don't have salvation, I'm not going to give you an assurance of it. But I want you to get saved this morning if the Holy Spirit shows you that you're not saved. Let's pray before we get into our points once again. Father, we come to You this morning. And God, I just pray right now that You'd give us wisdom. I pray right now, God, that You'd give us revelation and the knowledge of You. And I pray that You'd enlighten the eyes of our understanding, God, so that we may understand exactly what Your Word says. So that instead of doubting, God, we'll walk out of here so assured and we'll be shouting the rest of our life about our salvation. Father, I pray that You give me wisdom, give us power. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want you to see this morning, I'm only going to give you 2 points, okay? Number one, the Spirit of God is the seal, and that's the word, the seal that keeps us saved. Look at verse 13. In whom you also trusted, that is Jesus, you trusted in Him after you heard the Word, after you heard the Gospel. In whom also after or when you believed. Look at what happened when you trusted in Jesus. Look at what happened when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were sealed, underline that word, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you're writing down notes, it also says this in 2 Corinthians 1:22 and Ephesians 4:13. So this isn't just one verse. This is all throughout the teachings of Paul, that when we got saved, the Bible says we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, a seal, listen, is a sign of security. A seal is a sign of security. You remember in Revelation chapter number 5, John is in heaven and he sees this scroll, doesn't he? There's a scroll that has 7 seals on it. And the Bible says he looked around heaven and no man was found able to unloose the seal, to break the seal. You know what that means? That seal was secure. No angel, no man, no woman, not even Peter, Moses, David, or Paul was able to break this seal. That means it was secure. And nobody could open it except one person. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that had the power to do it. So a seal is something that keeps something secure. Now in our day, we all know what a seal is. We can use a modern illustration. When you want to send a very important document, check, whatever you may send in the mail, you're not just going to put it in the mail and say, I hope it gets there, are you? You are going to put that check in something called an envelope. And what are you going to do to that envelope? Leave it open? No. You are going to seal that envelope. So let's just say perhaps you feel in your spirit you want to send a check to somewhere in Lincolnton, 2251 Rockdam Road, Lincolnton, North Carolina, Pastor Justin Driver for an amount of $10,000. You can go back and listen to my address just in case you get the feeling that you want to send a check. To make sure it gets to my address safely, you are going to seal it, aren't you? The purpose of a seal is to make sure that thing on the inside gets to its destination safely. A seal, the purpose, is to make sure the thing on the inside gets to its destination safely. Can I tell you, the day we got saved, the Bible says we were put in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, we were wrapped around and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to make sure we get to our destination safely and securely. Amen. The Bible says you are put in my hand and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. That's security right there. But he also said, I put a seal around you so that even if you want to get out, you can't. He sealed us to make sure we get to our destination safely. You say, well, how long does that seal last? Can't you break the seal? The Bible says, until the day of redemption. In verse number 14, it does not say you're sealed until you commit a sin, Brother Johnny. It says you're sealed until the day you go home. And we're protected as children of God. And nothing or no one can break this seal. Notice I said nothing can break this seal. Because the top reason people believe, there are a lot of denominations around today that teach you can lose your salvation. And the main reason they teach you can lose your salvation is this reason. You sin after you got saved. Because you sin after you got saved, that seal is broken and you have lost your salvation. For example, let's say a 13-year-old girl comes to church. She's in youth. She feels the nudge that she needs to get saved. And she calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save her soul. She begins reading the Bible. She's coming to church. She's a faithful Christian. She's doing everything she can to live the Christian life. But this saved 13-year-old girl is about to go to high school. And she turns 16, 17 years old. For those of you in high school know exactly what's going to happen when you turn 15, 16, 17 years old. The devil is going to throw temptation at you like he hadn't done your whole entire life. So let's say that saved girl goes to school and the devil tempts her on a Friday night at a party to do something that the Bible says she should not do, and she gives in to that temptation. There are a lot of preachers that look at that 13-year-old girl and says, well, too bad, you're not going to heaven anymore because you messed up. Let me ask you something. Don't you believe the day God saved that girl? Let me ask you this first. Does God know the end from the beginning? Shake your head. Does God know all things? So don't you think the day God saved that girl, He knew in 5 years she was going to mess up? Don't you think He knew that the day He came into her heart, she was still going to mess up? Whether it was 30 years down the road, 60 years down the road, she was going to mess up. You know what? He chose to save her anyway. Let me tell you something. Salvation is not God coming to me and say, Justin, I'll save you today, but if tomorrow you mess up, you're going to have to do it again. Justin, I'll save you today as long as you promise to live right, to do right, and to not mess up. That is not what salvation is all about. When God says He'll save us, He does not say, I'll save you if, I'll save you but. He says, I'll save you despite. Amen. He'll save us despite. Because me and Brother Clyde talked about it last night. Clyde, after you got saved, have you sinned? And let me tell you something, church. If Clyde has sinned, we're in a lot of trouble. Because Clyde's one of the most godly men I've ever met my entire life. And if Clyde has sinned after he got saved, Justin's sinned a whole lot after he got saved. But let me tell you something. That does not break the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. There is nothing no one can do. There's not an accusation the devil can bring up against me to break the seal of the Holy Spirit. But that is the main reason people believe you can lose your salvation. To be honest, that's the main reason Justin doubted his salvation for a while, is because I didn't know, man. I mean, I mess up. I've messed up for a lot of years since I've got saved. But the Bible says we can't even break the seal of the Holy Spirit no matter what we do. So you saying you can live however you want to live? No, I'm not saying that. If you're really saved, you're going to desire to please Him. You're not going to just live however you want to live, but sometimes we're going to mess up. Every single day, as a matter of fact, we're going to mess up. And I'll tell you what makes this so true. The day you and I got saved, He didn't just forgive me of my past sins. I was 12 years old when I got saved. And boy, from the time I was 1 until I was 11, whew, you can imagine how bad I was. An 11-year-old can do a lot of stuff. Most of the sins we do are after we got saved. Is that right? For most of us that grew up in the church. But when we got saved, Jesus just didn't forgive me for my past sins. He forgave me for my future sins. In other words, the sin I commit tomorrow, guess what? It's already under the blood. It's already under the blood. There is nothing that we can do to break the seal of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God is the seal that keeps us saved. And it'd do us a whole lot of good, church, if we realized it's not us that's keeping us saved by our goodness, our good works, and what we do. It is the power of God that's keeping us saved. It is the power of God that keeps us saved in Peter. That's exactly what he says. So that's the first thing that I want you to know this morning. The Spirit of God is the seal that keeps us saved. But secondly, and probably most importantly, the Spirit of God is the guarantee that we are saved. Look at verse 14. The Holy Spirit, which is, or who is, who is He? He is the earnest. That word means guarantee, down payment, pledge, whatever you want it to mean. He is the guarantee of our inheritance. The guarantee of our salvation. So listen to this. The Spirit of God is He who not only keeps us saved, the Spirit of God is He who proves we are saved. It is He who proves we are saved. Listen. The problem most Christians probably in this church today have is not the question of can I lose my salvation. That's not the problem most of us have. The problem most of us have is this question. Do I really have salvation? That's the problem in most of our minds. We ask ourselves, is my salvation real? Listen to these questions. It sounds just like us. Did I really know what I was doing when I trusted in Christ when I was 9 years old? Did I really understand what I was doing when I called on Jesus when I was 12 years old? How do I know I am really saved? That's the question all of us have. How do I know for sure I am saved? And we need to know that, don't we? How do we know for sure we're saved? Let me assure you of this today, and I've talked to Jimmy about this, so I'm going to use him. Just because me and Jimmy can remember the time, the day, the place that we asked Jesus into our heart and you can't, does not mean you're not saved. Just because I can tell you the exact time, the exact place, the exact moment that I got saved, and you're thinking in your mind, but I just can't remember that time, it doesn't mean you're not saved. There are plenty of godly men, godly women. John Piper is one of the greatest Bible teachers in our generation, and he'll tell you he has no idea the day he got converted. But he just knows he's converted. He just knows he's saved. And here's the question. Well, how do you know? How do you just know that you're saved? Today we're about to settle that question once and for all. How do you personally know you're saved? See how important this is? I want you to say amen if you agree with this, okay? How many of you know God loves you? How many of you know God has promised if you trust in Jesus, you'll have eternal life? See, we believe those words, don't we? But guess what? To us human beings, words mean nothing. Words mean absolutely nothing to us. And God knows that. God knows that. So you know what God did? God didn't just tell us with His words we're saved. God gave us something to prove we're saved. He gave us something to prove it. You say, what is that? He gave us the blessed Holy Spirit to prove we're saved. Let me explain it this way. When me and Monica were dating, I was her boyfriend. She was my girlfriend. She didn't like those titles. She wanted to be husband and wife. And that was fine to me because I wanted it too. Listen, a few months into us even knowing each other, I told that girl that I loved her with all of my heart because I knew I did. So I told Monica 1,000 times, I love you. And about on our third date, I said, I'm going to marry you, by the way. I don't recommend that for everybody, but anyway. I told Monica 1,000 times, I love you. I told Monica 3,000 times, I'm going to marry you. But guess what? To Monica, those words meant absolutely nothing until I bought that ring. And when I put it on her finger, it gave her the assurance that the words that I said was the truth. And when I gave her that ring, she never had to doubt my words again, because that was me showing, I guarantee you, I'm going to marry you. Not just telling you, here's my action to prove I love you, to prove that I'm going to marry you. I gave her something to give her the assurance. What I was saying was the truth. Church, this morning, God has not only told us in His Word, if we trust in Jesus, we're saved. He has given us something to prove His words are true and that we really are saved. When He gave you and me the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that is His guarantee we have eternal life. Guaranteed to have eternal life. That's how you can know you're really saved, if you have the Holy Spirit. You are guaranteed salvation. So the question, how do I know I'm really saved? Do you want to know if you're saved today? Say amen. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to stop looking back at when you were 12 years old. I need you to stop looking back at however old you were and you called upon Jesus. Yes, that's important, but stop. Look today, September 13th, 2020, and ask yourself this question. Do I have the Holy Spirit? Okay? Ask yourself that question right now where you're seated. Is the Holy Spirit living in me? If so, that is God's proof. That is God's guarantee you are saved and you need no longer doubt your salvation. Romans 8:9 says this, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not his. Flip that verse around. If you have the Spirit of God, you are his. Now, the question that I don't know how many people's here today. How many people's here today, Rick? 84. The question about 84 of you should be asking right now is, all right, I know now that if a person has the Holy Spirit, he's saved. What's the question? How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Right? That's exactly probably what you're asking yourself. How do I know then that I have the Holy Spirit living in me? And I'm about to answer that for you. And this is what opened my eyes in such a way that I'll never have to doubt my salvation ever again. Because listen, we just said that the Holy Spirit proves you're saved. So if you know you have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're going to know you're saved. That's how important this is. If you know you've got the Holy Spirit, you're about to know you have salvation. How do we know we have the Holy Spirit? There are many ways, biblically speaking, to tell if you have the Holy Spirit, but I don't have time to go over all of them. But here is what I believe to be the most convincing evidence in our lives that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it is this. It is His work of conviction in our lives. It is His work of conviction / discipline in our lives. Listen, Justin personally knows the Holy Spirit lives in me because of His conviction in my life. And I've got some Scripture to back that up for you, so you'll get it too. And I hope this opens your eyes. Let me read it to you. This is Hebrews 12, if you want to write it down. You can go read it tonight. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. Notice how many times the word son is underlined, okay? My son, this is God speaking. Despise not thou the chastening. That word means discipline. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Rebuke means he tells you when you're wrong. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, conviction, discipline. If you be without that, listen to this. Whereof all of us partake of sons, then you are bastards and not sons. So in other words, those verses mean this. If I am a child of God and the Holy Spirit lives within me, listen, when I do wrong, I'll be convicted of it. When I mess up, I'll know it. And He will tell me what I just did was wrong if I'm His son. For example, let's say me and Monica go to the grocery store today. And on the other aisle, there's a 6-year-old boy who wants a box of cereal so bad. And his mama says, "Not this time, Johnny." And that little boy swells up and he puts his finger in his mama's face. And he says, "Let me tell you something, mama. I'm going to get exactly what I want when I want it, so put the box of cereal in the carton." And he screams bloody murder because he ain't getting what he's wanting. When Justin and Monica walk down that aisle and I see that little boy, you know what I'm going to say to him? Nothing. Y'all didn't see that coming, did you? You want to know why I'm not going to say anything to him? Because he's not my child. He's not my child. Fast forward 6 years from today. Me and Monica go to the grocery store with Levi. Levi wants that Cinnamon Toast Crunch box so bad. But he ain't going to get it. We say, "Levi, not today, maybe next week when we come." And Levi reaches out that finger. And he puts it in his mama's face. He says, "Mama, let me tell you something. I'm going to get what I want when I want it. So it's best for you to put that cereal box in the carton." And he screams bloody murder because he can't get what he wants. What is Justin going to do? I am going to take him out and whoop his behind for talking to his mama like that. Amen. You want to know why? Because he's my child. Amen. He is my child. Therefore, when he does something wrong, I'm going to make sure he knows what he did was wrong. Because I'm his father, and he's my son. And that is my job. What these verses mean are this. When you and me sin as children of God in our daily lives, whether you lash out in anger on I-85, whether you lash out in anger at your husband or your wife and you use words you didn't mean to use, whether you do something that's a sin, whether you look at something and lust over it, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring you to a place of conviction where you know what you did was wrong. Can I tell you something? I can't get away with nothing. If I say something out of anger to my wife, it ain't 10 minutes goes by the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, you shouldn't have said that." Right? When I do something that's wrong, there is something on the inside of me that makes me regret it, Brother Johnny. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is that. That is exactly what that is. And I'll be honest with you this morning, church, I don't like the feeling of conviction, all right? I can't stand the feeling of conviction when I do something wrong and God has to come to me and tell me what I did was wrong. But this morning, for the sake of this sermon, I am so happy for conviction because it tells me I'm a child of God. It tells me I'm a child of God and the Holy Spirit lives within me. Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of people today that can go out every weekend and get slap drunk and wake up the next morning and not have one feeling of regret over it. There's people that can do literally whatever they want to do their entire life and they never have one sense of regret, remorse, conviction that what they did was wrong. Listen, Christians are going to do wrong. Christians are going to mess up. Christians are going to sin. But the difference is when we sin, we get convicted about it. And the world doesn't. Because if we're His son, He's going to make sure we know that when we do wrong, we know we did wrong. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. That proves to me right there that the Holy Spirit lived within me. When you look at that biblically speaking, if you're His son, and you mess up, and He's going to tell you. Because you're His son, you're His child, you're His daughter. Use this illustration. My wife, it's about a year ago. You know when you go to the grocery store, I don't know why I'm on the grocery store today. I think we have to go today. That's probably why I'm... Anyway. She went to the grocery store by herself, and you know, man, they put all them candies up there at the checkout, and they know how to get you. Right? They put the best stuff at the checkout. Well, at the checkout, my wife grabbed a pack of gum, I think it was. She forgot to pay for it. And it was just there, and she just forgot, and she walked out, and she got to the car, and she said, oh, uh-oh. And the thing didn't go off for nothing when she walked out. You know what happened? She could have very easily gone home and said, well, I didn't have to pay $2 for it. Bye-bye, grocery store. So she told me, she said, if I'd have drove off, the Holy Spirit would have never left me alone. And that's the truth. That's the exact truth. You know what? That made me so happy. It did. It made me so happy. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's a good thing, even though you stole it. All right? That's what I told her. She didn't really stiff, whatever. Angels probably don't call me today. Say, what happened? I said, man, that's a good thing. Because you know what? That proves there's somebody living on the inside of you. That tells you you did something that really you didn't really mean to do, but it's still wrong. Right? You ever had that happen? No, okay then. There you go. So what I need you to do today is, we just said it. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, you're saved. And if He just gave you that understanding, I believe through the Scriptures, what I need you to do is I need you to walk out of here with a smile on your face. And I need you to walk out of here and when you pray, when you go home and the devil gets all over you again, say, why don't you just shut your mouth? Because my name is written in the book of life. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit and nothing can take that away. When your name is written in the book of life, God doesn't have an eraser up there. He doesn't. It's there and it's not going anywhere. So I'm thankful today. The most important thing you and I have to know is, are you a child of God? Because by the end of this day, that trumpet could sound and the children of God are going home. And if there's 84 people here, I want all 84 to be flying right beside me. So I ask you today, does the Holy Spirit live within you? If He does, man, stop. Stop doubting. Get over that, the Holy Spirit's role. I want you to look at it when you go home and continue to study it. Man, I'm thankful today to be a child of God. The Bible says it is the Spirit that testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, and God, I pray that You gave us wisdom and understanding. And God, I pray this morning that You set somebody free. Because God, this text, these verses, they were used to set me free, to give me liberty, and to show that I don't have to keep myself saved. But it showed me that I'm saved not because of what I do, but because of what Christ has done in me. So Father, I just pray today that You'd give everyone that has salvation in here an assurance that they are saved. And God, right now, if there's a person whom You're knocking on the door of their heart and You've revealed to them that they're not saved, God, I pray that they would come to Me the right now or at the end of the service, and they would say, I want to get saved today and have that assurance that I'm a child of God. So Lord, we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you could all...